We need to raise
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Joint Ways and Means Committee meeting this morning. We're going to have one item on the agenda, Senate Bill 862. I'll try and move along here. We'll open the public hearing for Senate Bill 862. Anyone want to come forward and testify on Senate Bill 862?
No. I don't.
Mr. Co-Chair, just by way of explanation, this will require a three-fifths majority. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jacqueline Zimmer-Jones, and I am the director of the Oregon Association of Area Agencies on Aging and Disabilities, and I also serve as the co-chair of the Human Services Coalition of Oregon, so I have an interest in all human services issues that come before you. I just wanted to just make a few comments about Senate Bill 862, and one of them is, in this particular session, as things are going really rapidly, I just sort of have this feeling that if you're going to take it, you should talk it. If you're going to take something, you should really talk about it. There shouldn't be sanitized legislation that rolls through the building. There shouldn't be press releases that say we've restored funding for this and we've restored funding for that, when really you've restored just a portion of it and you've left a number of people behind. And so that, when I saw this bill, I thought I would just comment briefly that this says it takes cigarette tax revenues from cities, counties, and Department of Transportation. And quite honestly, unfortunately, ODOT has been sort of, you know, they've had their share of woes, I think, and I think people sometimes don't really care if we take money from the Department of Transportation. I think they think there's a lot of money there. But quite honestly, there is about $1.8 million in transportation funding for seniors and people with disabilities in this bill. And while that may not seem like a lot, it is the end of the quarter, it is the end of the biennium, it's about 450,000 rides. We do this transportation system for seniors and people with disabilities with a complex amount of volunteers and donations and everything that it takes to put a transportation system together, operations, you know, having the right equipment. It's a little different than just, you know, loaning out a car. I mean, if you're going to have transportation for people with disabilities, that requires different vehicles. So there's investments in this program, and $1.8 million could be a chunk of change here at the end. So I just want you to be aware of that. And when I tell you that, I think that you know that right now we're looking at not funding levels 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. We're not funding almost $4 million of Oregon Project Independence. We've eliminated general assistance. We have very little in the medically needy fund. I mean, people that we've pushed out of the system of care are looking for whatever methods they can get to still access some kinds of services. So transportation is a critical piece of that, and I just wanted to make you aware of that. The next point I want to make is that, and it's just sort of a question, it's sort of like a where does it end? I mean, where does it end for seniors and people with disabilities in OMAP? At what point does the legislative body and the Ways and Means Committee say, that's enough, $37 million out of seniors and people with disabilities in 1 year, plus their federal match, a total of $77 million, that's enough. That is enough out of this particular function of state government. We still have tax credits on the table. No one else had to take the reductions that we had to take. I just feel certain that we should look at whether or not businesses could still function or corporations could still function if they faced a 3, a 5, a 10, a 15, or 20% reduction as we have. So I look to you to investigate whether that's an option that's not really getting enough meeting time. I don't sit in on your meetings, so I don't really know. But are we really looking for other ways to fund the whole in state government besides human services, besides the seniors with people with disabilities? So, I mean, if it was my world today, I would say this bill ought to be amended to state exactly what it does, which is takes away funding for seniors and people with disabilities and their transportation, and then let it be acted on. So those are my comments, and I hope I'm not too strident, but thanks.
It's okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Mr. Cantine, Mr. Silva.
This is not going to
proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Bob Cantine with the Association of Oregon Counties. And we come here today, I think, in sort of the same vein as the previous speaker, wanting to, this opportunity shouldn't go by without some conversation, because it's you're dealing with a very significant subject, not just in terms of whose lives you're affecting, but the relationship and the trust and the commitments that you make and the extent to which those are honored in the tough times as well as the good times. We want to be a good partner, and we have been. We understand you've got a serious problem, and so do we. When you have a big problem, we've got a big problem. We have taken about $50 million worth of reductions in the special session. And I notice in 55-48, we take another $2.4 million in community corrections. By the time this is through, we will have put community corrections in the place where they've got to either release offenders, case bank offenders, do something to deal with a reduction that's equivalent of about 8,000 felony offenders that we're supervising for you that some way we won't do anymore. And so we have a concern, but we feel we have enough of a partnership that nobody has backed out of that partnership at this point. There hasn't been a single county opt out, because we felt we had a commitment to you in this relationship. And when we go to talk about these two revenue sources, one was done yesterday and the other one is done in this bill today, they need to be, there's a different standard than just making a budget cut. Both of these revenues, the cigarette tax and the video lottery before, involved a preemption of the community's authority to act. That was the action that you took. You took away from the local people the opportunity to address the issue locally and said, in exchange for that, we will share with you a piece of the revenue. And that was, quote, a promise that was codified in the statute. We realize you can change statutes any time, but that ought to be a higher threshold for that. We think you've gone one step, and that was to put it at the bottom where it doesn't occur unless there's a trigger, and hopefully we don't get to that. But it was also a constitutional amendment. 80% of the voters in this state said you shouldn't impose an unfunded mandate on local government. They've got their own issues to deal with, and there ought to be some accountability here. So we just ask you, if you are not in a position to reconsider that, we hope that when we come to you and ask for a reestablishment of our authority to act locally, that you will hear that in a positive way. Because if we can't do long-term relationships, and maybe we're just naive in this whole thing, in the good and bad times, then maybe it is important for us to establish our own capacity, reestablish it to do these things in the future. My last comment is one of a, I guess I use the word troublesome, to see that in this legislation we are going to use it to assure that in the end, if necessary, you can restore state police, restore indigent defense, both of which generate the workload that comes back to us in community corrections, while we were laying off community corrections officers and laying off sheriff's patrol because of the reductions that you've imposed on us. And I think maybe there's a lesson to be learned about looking at the whole system and how it works together. And for us to take this revenue to do that, it's just sort of insult to injury. Thank you.
Thank you. We're supposed to be at the floor at 10 o'clock, just so.
Okay. I'll be brief, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Ken Strobeck, Executive Director of the League of Oregon Cities, here to make the same case that Mr. Cantine made as far as the trust relationship established by the vote of the people in 1966, reiterated by the vote of the people Later, when they passed the unfunded mandates bill in 1996, that requires a three-fifths vote to take any action by the legislature that would reduce shared revenue below the amount in 1997, which this clearly does. And as Bob said also, that and one of the comments we got back from one of our city managers was that cities have already been going through this, cities and counties, since the institution of the limitations on the property tax. We have been laying off. We have been doing hiring freezes. We have been reducing total workforce over the last 10 years. And cities are limited by law in their capacity to replace these lost revenues. Cigarette tax is a perfect example. It was in part a reimbursement idea for the preemption of local authority to have a cigarette tax. So this action would take away the shared revenue, not give back the authority. So there's definitely an imbalance there. The speaker was quoted over the weekend as saying that she didn't want to make cuts in what she called essential services, and I appreciate that, but I would submit that the action being contemplated in this bill cuts essential services in hundreds of cities and dozens of counties all across the state of Oregon. And I have examples here that were submitted by some city managers. City of Newport would have to lay off someone. This represents a quarter of a position. Public safety budget would be reduced in City of Newburgh. Grants Pass said they would have to lay off another person in police and fire. City of North Plains said they've already used reserves to the point where the reserves are refusing to come in for reserve officers, and that their staffing level is lower than it was 5 years ago. City of LeGrand says they're receiving less in property tax revenue in real dollars today in 2003 than they did in 1996. So we're not talking about cities that are and local governments that are riding high. These are units of government that have already made severe cuts, and this really would be more cuts to essential services. I want to just briefly mention the city of Milwaukee. In their 2003-2004 budget, even before this action, they have eliminated two library positions, 2.5 police positions, and one neighborhood services position. So we're getting to the point where there's not much left to be reducing. We appreciate the, as Bob said, the putting it at the bottom of the list. Appreciate the comments of Representative Butler about not wanting to balance your budget on the backs of local governments. And I would just conclude by a comment that was submitted by the city manager of Burns. It said, "This is like stealing bread from my little sister." So with that, conclude.
Thank you very much. Do we get Martin Lorraine and Janine Delaney to come on up?
Good morning. Martin Loring. I manage the Public Transit Division within the Oregon Department of Transportation. I'm here primarily this morning to share with you the programmatic impacts of the $1.8 million in transportation funding for the elderly and disabled, if you would like and have time to receive that information. The $1.8 million that is scheduled to be cut if the forecast comes in below a trigger level is programmed. Approximately the same amount is programmed to go out in the last quarterly disbursement during the first week of March to 33 governing bodies. These are 9 transportation and mass transit districts and 24 county boards of commissioners, which in turn have contracts with some 130 private not-for-profit providers of transportation services around the state. The $1.7 million that's scheduled to go out in that disbursement pays for drivers, fuel, insurance, other costs necessary to get the elderly and the disabled to meal sites, to medical appointments, and for the disabled to employment. And these services are essential, perhaps even more essential, given the required cuts in social services. The additional funds, and those resources go out under the current law as entitlements, but the counties and the transportation districts have signed written contracts with the not-for-profit transportation providers. We haven't had a chance to review those contracts. They may or may not have subject to appropriation clauses in them, but this could indeed be a cost shift to those counties and transportation districts to pick up that slack. The rest of the money within our budget is committed to specific grant agreements with transportation providers for the purchase of vehicles, equipment, and other assets necessary to deliver those transportation services. And whether or not we can back out on those contractual obligations is an open question that we will certainly work on if this bill passes and the trigger is hit. Again, I realize the horrible position you're in. I have unbounded empathy for you, but these cuts impose real impacts on people's lives. Thank you for your opportunity to comment.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Janine Delaney, and I'm with the Oregon Disabilities Commission. And I'm here, and I'm glad to have heard Martin's testimony. I'm here because transportation has been identified for people with disabilities as the number one or two issue in our 9 or 10 public forums around the state. It is just critical for people to maintain their employment, their independence, their social network, their medical appointments, all of their quality of life. And I certainly respect and admire the work that you have tried to do to restore these services, but have some grave concerns that if that's done at the sort of failure to fund then another essential service, I'm not sure how far ahead that brings us. And since that's one of the critically identified needs over and over again from community to community, and it doesn't matter whether it's rural or urban or suburban, it's just one of those key issues that for people with disabilities really impact their lives critically. So I would express some major concerns on that part of the bill that would take funding from senior and disabled transportation. And I appreciate the opportunity to come and say that this morning.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everyone's testimony. I think we all do. The last session was really important to myself personally and many members of the body to increase the senior disabled transportation funding. But in light of our horrible dilemma right now and trying to prioritize actual services to keep people, seniors and disabled, in their homes and facilities that care for them and make sure they get medication, we're faced with these tough decisions, and we're trying to do the best we can, and hence this trigger and using this at the very last resort. I think all members realize that. Any further testimony? Anyone feeling the absolute burning need to speak before the Senate goes on the floor in 2 minutes? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Go into work session. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, I can't help but feel like we've heard many times before that we got grandma on the ice floe. Unfortunately, I feel that this goes probably a step too far. We've got her on the ice floe, and we've taken the treads off of the Arctic cat. I just really feel strongly about what the representatives from the cities and counties have indicated, that we need to overthrow or overdo or work over the preemption from local governments to act on behalf of their own issues relative to tobacco, alcohol, and their own lottery funding, their share of lottery and gaming revenues. And unfortunately, I just have come to the point where I really can't support this continued take from local government, and I won't support the balancing of the state budgets on the back of local governments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a former county official, I think I've got to speak out on this. And I will be supporting the bill. Mr. Cantine said that there needed to be a different standard to take this type of an approach to an existing county revenue stream or a city revenue stream, and I think that's true. There should be a higher standard for these than anything else. The reason I can still support it is I think this is our needs at this point meet the higher standard. We've got the biggest concern I'm concerned with is maintaining state solvency. We have to have a balanced budget in order for the treasurer to release TANs. We did some add backs. that I think are absolutely vital to maintaining people being able to stay alive. And I think those two standards, people maintaining health care to people that will die without it, and maintaining solvency for the state, reach the higher standard that I need in order to take things away from local government. I am concerned about balancing the system. We're adding police, we're adding incident defense. At the same time, we're taking resources away from the rest of the pieces of the system, and that's bad policy. On the other hand, in order to put the votes together to get us through this crisis, sometimes you have to balance things out in a way different than our own individual viewpoints. I just wish, at that I'll end.
Thank you very much. Good comments. Senator Harper.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just for the record, this is the dumbest thing we're doing this special session six. It's only slightly less dumb than not balancing the budget, so I'll be supporting it. But, Bob, I'll give you my word that if we go down this far, then I'll be voting with you to get back to the local control for these issues. But don't misunderstand my yes vote. This is pretty stupid.
Senator Dukes.
Well, I'll balance you out, Senator. I supported the other stuff as it's come through, and I desperately want to get this budget balanced. But that's not what we're doing here today. We're not budgeting the current shortfall we have. This kicks in May, or doesn't kick in May. And the one thing I learned when we were first coming into this session was that I kept saying, well, we've found prescription drugs for this one, we've got insulin for that one, we've got, you know, something else for that one, and so far we haven't lost anybody. The people that we lost were the ones that we'd scared to death. We had threatened them by saying, if this happens, then we do this. And they were literally out there taking their lives because they couldn't live with the prospect of what was coming before. And with the senior and disabled transportation piece of this, I think that's what we're doing again. If the forecast comes in more than $150 million short, I'll be happy to take a look at this. Program I love dearly, but and I too am a former county commissioner. I understand that we keep taking away from them so we can make our programs work, but I agree with Representative Hansen. At this point, I think our needs are greater. The people that we are trying to save are greater. But this one isn't about the March revenue forecast. This is about a revenue forecast that might come in lower the middle of May, and this time I'm going to wait.
Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'd like everyone to think about a few numbers. We have total revenue projected for 03-05 for ODOT of $3,235 million. And the cities and counties are going to get almost no increase. It's a very minimal increase that they're going to get, about less than $600 million out of $3,235. But the number that really bothers me here is the $1.8 million for senior and disabled transportation. And I'm going to tell you, as a farmer, I've done this thing all my life, and I tell you, if you're in the farming business, you're going to borrow money on tough times. And I don't mind that borrowing that money. Some say I'm going to pay it back. But one thing I never did was go over to my neighbor and steal anything of his and go sell it. I never did that. And so I can't do it today.
Thank you. Representative Krieger.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think we've all swallowed really hard on some of the votes we've already taken in here, and boy, there's going to be a lot more before we get out of here. The rural communities have been downsizing for years. This isn't new to them. They've been struggling, especially in rural counties and, you know, those areas. I look at what we're doing, and they have a lack of alternatives where they can really go and raise funds and the sources of those dollars. So I'm going to give a vote yesterday to get this out of here if we can, but at the same time, if we get to where this thing trips, I don't know if I'm going to vote yes for it on the floor.
Thank you. Representative Smith and Representative Bates.
Thank you, Co-Chair Schrader. I know what a difficult job both you gentlemen have, and I can truly appreciate that. I have a fundamental problem with balancing our budget on the backs of the cities and counties. as I understand it, an agreement was reached in the past in which the cities and counties were apportioned a portion of the cigarette tax revenue, and I think it's very important for this body to keep good on that understanding, and so I will be voting no on Senate Bill 862, but please understand, I truly do understand how difficult your folks' job is, and I know this wasn't brought to us in haste.
It's also your job, too. Representative Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll be voting yes on this bill, but I'm not going to like it any more than anybody else on this panel does. We need to get this budget out, and we need to keep the integrity of the state in place. I am concerned also about the integrity and trust that people have for the House and the Senate and the state. And I was home this week, and I heard over and over again that they don't trust us anymore, and this is the kind of reasons they don't trust us anymore. When you go out and try to sell a program, as I did try to some physicians on Friday night in Bend, they flat out told me, you guys always steal the money. You never follow through on your promises, and we're doing it again here. I'm going to vote for this because we are in a situation we have to get this out, but I'm more concerned not only about what it does to seniors, because I deal with those people every day, but I'm more concerned about what it does about the trust that people have for this body, and we're going to lose that trust if we keep doing these things. And I think that's something we have to really keep in our minds now as we get down this line. I also want to make a point that this does not tie my hands in 0305 about what we're going to do about the next budget as far as this is concerned. I share with Representative Butler a concern, and others in this panel, that we need to restore to the counties and cities an opportunity for them to raise their own revenue if we're going to take these kinds of actions. And thank you for your time. I know you got to get to the floor.
Thank you. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't believe that this bill reflects the best of public policy, but there's hardly anything that's going to occur in this session that probably reflects the best of public policy. And I do regret that we're taking this action. I'm going to support the measure because what I see that what we're trying to do here is we're actually putting in place an insurance policy. We are basically trying to ensure that the state's revenues are adequate so that our budget balances. If the May forecast comes in at a lower level than we anticipate and this actually trips, it's probably much better that it actually trips at that point than we actually go out of balance. Because if we go out of balance, we probably will not be able to correct that out of balance in this biennium. And if we go out of balance and if that results ultimately in our bond rating being lowered, it will not be only bad for the state, it will be bad for cities, and it will be bad for counties, but probably far more beyond what the impact of this revenue is. So that's why I'm voting for the measure.
Good comment. Okay. With any further discussion? For that, we'll have...
Yeah, Mr. Co-Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 862 to the floor. Did you pass recommendation?
That's not critical. Yeah. Very good. With that, we'll have Mr. Rocco call the roll.
Representative Butler?
No.
Representative Patrick?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Bates?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No.
Chair Miller?
Aye.
Senator Dukes?
No.
Senator Carter?
Aye, aye, aye.
Senator Winters?
Aye.
Senator Messerly?
Aye.
Senator George?
No.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Senator Harper?
Aye.
And Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Motion carries.
With that, meeting's adjourned. No.